You know, in a gasoline or a hybrid car, there is a battery that is of great importance. We understand this when we try to start our cars. If the battery is weak or the battery is bad, the engine will not start. Gasoline-powered cars have an alternator that supplies electric current to keep the battery charged up, to make it fully charged so that it will be able to charge to start our cars. I know we have a couple here that have an EV car. EV cars run on batteries. They have a powerful electric motor. But they, too, need to have batteries that are charged. They have to be connected to an outlet to be charged up. You know, the interesting thing about batteries usually have a positive and a negative terminal. They're often indicated by a plus and a minus as well. Both positive and negative are needed for battery to operate properly. You know, human psychology tells us that all of us have positive and negative traits in our lives, in our personalities. Most of us recognize that we have those. It's been said if I had a half a glass of water up here, there'd be two views of that glass of water. For those that are like my mom, they would see a glass that was half full of water. For me, who's a little bit more on the pessimistic side, I would see that glass as half empty. It's important to remember that pessimists, as myself, always claim to be realist. We're just being real. It's a half empty glass. And whether you're optimistic or pessimistic in your life, we're not all one or the other. There's bits and pieces of those two things in all of us. It's important to remember that optimists are not always happy or pessimists are not always unhappy. But whether you're an optimist or a pessimist, it does impact how you view life. It impacts our perspective on life. The example would be if the battery quit working in your car, an optimist would think of these things. Well, I'm glad that I had jumper cables. Or they might be happy that the battery quit while they were at home and not stuck out someplace. Or an optimist would say, well, you know, the battery lasted a long time, and so I'm glad that it's not anything more expensive than just a battery. Of course, we probably understand how a pessimist would view this. A pessimist, even though he had jumper cables, would say, well, it's inconvenience. I had to find someone to charge my car. If the car battery went out at home, well, it was better to go out at home, but I was late to work. And if the battery did go out on their car, well, it should have lasted longer. You know, batteries are really expensive now. You know, those, whether you're an optimist or pessimist, we have different perspectives. We can view things in a positive way or in a negative way. Viewpoint of a pessimist or an optimist affects us how we look at things, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Those who are more optimistic usually are better at coping with difficult decisions in their lives or different stresses that they have in their lives. Those that are optimistic usually have better health. And those who are optimistic usually pursue goals and have a higher persistence to achieve those goals. The more that someone's negative or pessimistic, they usually have trouble coping with problems that come up in life. Obviously, if someone who's pessimistic suffers more stress in their lives, for how they view their lives. It can also impact their health. Life also sometimes often seems very difficult and hard. For those of us here today that understand the Bible, we understand that Satan is the god of this world. Satan broadcasts his negative ideas to us throughout the world. You know, some of Satan's negative traits include anger, resentment, arrogance. We see that reflected in the world today. He's always scheming. He's always trying to destroy God's plan and ultimately keep us out of God's kingdom. It's imperative that we stay positive to combat Satan, that we stay positive in the negative world that we live in today. So today I want to look at how we can stay positive in a negative world. How we can stay positive in a negative world. You know, those who are more positive usually have more compassion on people. They have more empathy on people. Sometimes people that are, most of the time when people are more positive, they find more happiness and success in lives as well. Staying positive is a key for fulfilling what God has called us to do. God's leading, directing our lives, we understand that there'll be overcoming. There'll be difficult times to come, but being an optimist can help us to do those things. So the title for today's message is Stay Positive in a Negative World. Stay positive in a negative world. I have 5 points I want to bring out today that can help us to do that. The first point is God has chosen us at this time. God has chosen us at this time. We should be positive that God's chosen us at this time because we have a wonderful opportunity that God's given to us to live a life that helps us now and prepares us for a future in His kingdom. It's not something to be puffed up or vain about. It's something to be positive about the gift and the understanding God's given to us. You know, Jesus referred to it, understanding the kingdom of God as the pearl of great price. And it truly is a pearl of great price. If you turn over to John chapter 15, we'll read verses 16. Jesus was addressing his disciples and reminding them earlier how they needed to stay connected to him. He was using an analogy of God, our Father, as the vine dresser. In John chapter 15, in verse 16, it tells us, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask in your Father in my name, he may give you." You know, Jesus had chosen 12 disciples for a specific reason. They were trained to be apostles and to start God's church. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it tells us, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That should be positive and encouraging to us, that we're chosen at this time to be a part of God's church. That God the Father and Jesus Christ believe that we can fulfill the purpose that we've been called to do, that we've been chosen, not because of our greatness, because of their greatness, and for what they can do with each of us in our lives. We're chosen to be disciples at this time. We're chosen to produce godly fruit. When we produce godly fruit, we know the fruits of God's Spirit is love, peace, kindness, faithfulness. All those things help us to be positive in our lives, have a positive frame of mind. You know, pessimists may say that God chose the weak of the world, which is true. But an optimist, we remember the scripture that Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." If you turn over to 1 Peter, we'll read from chapter 2, read verses 9 through 10. Peter is writing about what God is able to accomplish to those that he's working with. First Peter chapter 2, we'll start in verse 9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You were once not a people, but now you are the people of God who have not attained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Brethren, we sing this in our hymnals at times, don't we? A chosen generation. God's chosen us to be a part of his family. God views his church positively. It talks about calling out of darkness into light. We have the opportunity to live a life now that's not in darkness, but in light. An opportunity that God gives us through forgiveness of our sins and the mercy that he's given to us. It's a great understanding that we are a called and chosen generation at this time. A pessimist might think I surely can't be God's chosen people. I have too many sins. My sins are too big. I'm too much of a wretched person. But a positive outlook is that God is in the rebuilding process. He can take our lives wherever we come from. Nothing's too big for God to handle. No sins are too big that God will not forgive. We have an example of that throughout the Bible. All of us have a great opportunity, and we should be positive that God has chosen us and provides us the help that we needed and that we will continue to need in the future. If you turn to Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, read verses 31 through 32. Jesus is reminding those who are chosen to be his disciple to not to worry or be anxious about physical things. Luke chapter 12, starting verse 31, it says, "But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Brethren, when we read scriptures like this, how can we be negative? We have God's help. We have God's Holy Spirit. We should be positive. We have the best loving Father that we could ever have. It will take faith and trust in Him, but God believes in us. God believes in us that He's chosen us, given His Holy Spirit to us to help us to overcome this world, to help us to be faithful, to help us to be positive in our lives. If God is this positive about us, we should be positive in our lives as well. We sometimes hear the phrase, "I've got this." We hear people say that. But God truly does have this. God's got this. He supplies everything that we need when we go to Him and when we ask. If you turn to Matthew, turn back to Matthew chapter 10. Read verses 29 through 31. Jesus reminds us of God's power, His abilities. And sometimes I think we look at these scriptures and don't receive the value out of them that we can, especially as we look at this subject about being positive. Matthew chapter 10, starting in verse 29. "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from God's will? But the very hairs of your head have all been numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are far more value than the sparrows." So I was looking at this. I looked at Albert Barnes' notes on the Bible. I think this is very interesting. This is from Albert Barnes' notes. He states, "God encourages them to fear, not to fear, by two striking considerations. First, God takes care of sparrows, the smallest and least valuable birds, and secondly, by the fact that God even numbers the hairs on our head. The argument is that if He takes care of birds of the least value, and He regards something so small as a hair on our heads and numbers it, He will certainly protect and provide for you." I thought that was very interesting. God is aware of everything that's happening in our lives. There's nothing that He doesn't see that's happening to us. He cares about us. He wants to help us. He's training us to be a part of His family. And that's something that we should be positive about. Sometimes our decisions do impact our lives, decisions by others. But God is preparing us for what we need to be a part of His family. We should never waver in our understanding that God is there for us. Even when we have difficult trials, there are opportunities to draw closer to God. You know, this life is an up and down. It's like a roller coaster sometimes. We have ups and downs, highs and lows. We don't enjoy the lows as much as we enjoy the highs, but we can focus on the positive things of life. The positive thing of this life is God is training us for a future. A future that's part of His family. His very family. God's chosen us to be there. We should be positive about that. The second point I want to bring out today is endure and perseverance. Endure with perseverance. If you look up the definition of endure, it's to undergo as a hardship, especially without giving up. To undergo a hardship, especially without giving up. The definition for endurance is the ability to sustain prolonged stress, effort in an activity. The ability to sustain a prolonged stressful effort of activity. Brethren, we need both of those things in our lives. We turn to James chapter 5, read verses 7 and 8. It's a scripture that's probably familiar with us. James, the brother of Jesus, was giving some keys to enduring. James chapter 5, we'll start in verse 7. It says, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for his precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near." Those who are optimistic will take the time to plant a garden. You can never have a garden grow if you don't plant something. We understand that in this physical life as well. It takes time, takes effort to grow a crop, to grow a garden. It also takes patience. Again, I want to read from Albert Barnes' notes on the Bible about verse 8. Albert Barnes says this, "As a farmer in due time expects the return of rain, so may you anticipate deliverance from your trials. Let your purpose and your faith be firm and unwavering. Do not become weary or fretful, but bear with consistency all that is laid upon you until the time of deliverance comes." Brethren, when we're going through a trial, that deliverance seems like it takes a long time sometimes. We need to be patient. As I said, there's always things we can learn along the way. But part of going through a trial is to be positive. When we become pessimistic or negative, that will not help us stay close to God. It won't help us to be guided by Him. It's interesting. Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew chapter 10:22, "But he who endures to the end will be saved." And we understand that. Those who have been chosen by God have a worthwhile goal in their life. This life has a meaning to them. They understand that life will not always be an up. There will be downs to it, as I mentioned earlier. We must be willing to endure hardships and sustain a prolonged effort, as I read about earlier about the definition for enduring. You may have heard about physical endurance training. We see those who run marathons on TV, those who run distance races. The goal of endurance training is to develop a cardiovascular system that is able to sustain that activity for long periods of time, for as long as it's needed. It requires a circulatory respiratory system to supply the energy that your muscles need. That comes from a strong heart and strong lungs. You know, God's training us to have a changed heart spiritually. We need a strong spiritual heart. God knows we need change from carnal nature to something that represents His character and values. Just like physical endurance training, spiritual endurance training takes time. It takes time to accomplish God's purpose that He's called us for and chosen us for. Those who physically train stay positive even though it's hard because they understand they're going to achieve a goal. They have a goal that's been set for them or that they've set themselves. Brethren, we have a goal as well. We're told in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, I'll read this from the New English Translation. You don't need to turn there. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Since the eyes of your heart have been enlightened, so that you know what is the hope of your calling, what is the wealth of his glorious inheritance in his in the saints. You know, God's preparing us for something glorious. It takes training. It takes endurance. Also takes perseverance as well. We need to stay positive. Stay positive when we go through those difficult times, because we know God's promises that he's given to us and the great inheritance that he has waiting for us as well. Continuing on in James, you'll skip down to verse 10. James chapter 5, verse 10 says, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we counted them blessed who endured, who have heard the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." There's many examples in the Bible of those, especially in the faith chapter, that endured and persevered. Especially the prophets. The prophets had to persevere a lot under persecution. You know, the definition for perseverance is continual effort to do and achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. I'll read that again. Perseverance, continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. And when you think of perseverance, if you look that up in the dictionary, you'd think there'd be a picture of Job. Job, to say Job went through a hard trial or a hard test, in my opinion, is a great understatement. The book of Job is a fascinating book to read. There's so many lessons that we can learn besides just perseverance. It's interesting that God pointed out to Satan, speaking about Job, that there was no one like him on the earth, that he was blameless, an upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Remember the story of Job. He lost everything. He lost his children. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost the respect of all those who knew him as well. Job's attitude was not always perfect or good during his suffering. He continued to struggle to understand why these things happened. Job and his three friends made the mistake of believing a person could only suffer and go through trials because of sin. And hopefully we understand that is not true. We suffer from times in trials because of our sin, but there's many times that we suffer just because of this human life. Different things happen physically to us, maybe in our DNA from our families, maybe time and chance happen to us as well. It's important that we stay positive through those trials and the problems that we have, and that we give those problems to God. Take our problems and give them to God. If you turn to Jeremiah chapter 29, Jeremiah chapter 29, I'll read verses 11 through 14. I'll read this from the NIV. The Jews had been exiled from Babylon. Jeremiah had sent a letter with God's instructions for them to get on with their lives. They were in captivity, but to go ahead and build, to plant crops, to have children, even to pray for the city that they were in, that it would prosper so they could prosper as well. Jeremiah chapter 29, I'll start in verse 11 from the NIV. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You know, God's plan for them was for them to return back to Jerusalem at a set time to give them hope, to give them hope now and in the future. God's plan always gives hope. We should have hope as well. Verse 12, it says, "Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." You know, when we're going through a trial, God can help bring us back from the captivity of thinking negatively. God can help our attitudes and help us to think more positive about the things that we can do to control and help us through those trials. It's very important that we focus on the things that we can control in life. There's a lot of things that we can't control in life. We can give those to God. Things that we can't control, give to God. God will help take care of those. God will help us during those times. When we focus on our relationship with God, when we focus on drawing closer to Him, we'll find that God will give us the help that we need to continue on. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, it tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to continue to have our eyes focused on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Continue to focus on being the disciples that He's called us to be. As I said, we cannot control everything that happens in our lives. With God's help, we can control our attitudes, and we can be positive even though we're going through a difficult time. When we stay focused, we need to focus on Jesus Christ and the example that He set for us. We need God's help, and He'll give us the help we need when we go to Him and ask Him for it. He'll help us overcome Satan in this world, and brethren, our endurance and our perseverance will be greatly rewarded, if not now, in God's kingdom. This brings me to my third point today, is be humble and teachable, ready to continue to learn. Be humble and teachable, ready to continue to learn. To be humble or have humility from the Bible means not to be proud or puffed up, not to be arrogant or boastful about the knowledge or understanding that we've been given. You know, from a spiritual perspective, understanding how to be lowly compared to God. Understand how to be lowly compared to God. Brethren, we are God's creation. God created us for a special purpose. We should always remember those things, and when we do, it helps us to be humble and have humility in this life. I'll read a quote from C.S. Lewis, who said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less." Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. That's a very true statement. If you turn to Micah chapter 6, we'll read verse 8. This is a scripture where we're told what God requires from each of us. It's a wonderful scripture that helps remind us that we need to continue to be humble. Micah chapter 6, I'll start in verse 8. "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you to do? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." You know, these verses, we're told three important things that God requires us to remember, and more importantly, to practice in our lives. The word justly here can be translated as judgment, justice, as a decision in law. It means that we can render a proper verdict or make a proper determination. God wants us to make right decisions and right judgments in our life, that we put the things that He's taught us into practice, His commandments, that we're able to deal justly with those around us as well. The Hebrew word for mercy here can also mean kindness. We don't see a lot of mercy and kindness in the world we live in today. God wants us to have mercy and kindness, and we'll look at that a little bit later in this sermon as well. Lastly, we're told not just to be humble, but to humbly walk with God. not just to be humble, but humbly walk with God. We should understand there's requirements to walk with God, but most of those requirements start with us being humble. Being humble to revere God, be willing to revere Him, be humble to put our life, submit our life to Him, to walk in faith, and also to be teachable. Those who are not humble have a hard time being teachable. I have something that I found on the website, Teachers Institute. There's an article, Cultivating Positive Attitudes for Enhanced Learning and Outcomes. This is from the website, Teachers Institute. The article looks at how a positive attitude actually promotes learning. Goes on to state, a positive attitude increases the motivation of students not only to learn, but also to succeed. Not just learn, but succeed. A positive attitude encourages active participation in learning. It says a positive attitude helps a student to continue to learn through challenges and setbacks. It goes on to state, those with a negative attitude towards learning often feel disconnected from the learning process. It often leads to procrastination or avoiding learning. Brethren, how does that apply to us spiritually? There'll be setbacks, challenges spiritually, things we can learn from. All the things I mentioned can help us to be learning throughout our life. You know, God's called us to be lifetime learners. To be lifetime learners, not just to increase with new knowledge, but to take the knowledge that we have and grow in understanding and to grow in how we apply it, how we apply it each day and how we live. We must be ready and positively be ready to learn. It takes a lifetime of learning to learn the things that God wants us to learn. We should be excited about that. It should be exciting to learn new things. Hopefully we're like that in our physical lives as well. Always wanting to learn. But we must be ready and willing and wanting to learn. If you turn over to, turn back to Psalms chapter 25. Psalms chapter 25, read verses 4 through 10. David in the Psalms was asking God to lead and teach him. This is not the only psalm that he wrote things like this. This is a good, some good verses for us as we look at being humble and being teachable. Psalm chapter 25, starting in verse 4, says, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. I will wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old. And do not remember my sins of youth nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice. And the humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. To such keep his covenants and his testimonies." In these seven verses, David uses the word teach five times. Five times. It takes humility to allow God to lead and teach us. We need to be positive and want to learn as well. God shows us the mercy to continue to work on us even when we sin. He's willing to forgive us when we repent. We need to stay positive and continue to look to Him for His guidance and what He wants us to do. As I said, He doesn't give up teaching us just because we're sinners. He allows us to repent and continue to grow. We need to be humble as God continues to teach and lead us to learn the things that we need in this life. If you turn to Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 17, we'll read verses 10 through 12. You know, earlier in chapter 17, Luke writes about Paul and Silas preaching in Thessalonica, where the Jews became so envious, proclaiming that they were turning the world upside down, and they had to leave that area. Picking up with the story in verse 10 of Acts chapter 17, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out where these things were so. Therefore, many believed, also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. You know, the Bereans were eager to learn, not just accepting what Paul and Silas were saying. It says they were searching the scriptures daily to see if they were so. Brethren, we must be on guard that we don't allow ourselves to have the Laodicean attitude that's talked about in Revelation. Not to become self-satisfied spiritually, because when we're self-satisfied, we become complacent spiritually. We think we've already learned enough. We're instructed to be zealous for the things of God. Those who are zealous continue to learn, much like the Bereans, searching the scriptures daily. We need to have a positive, humble attitude to continue to seek God and his righteousness. If you turn back to 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, read verses 5 through 7. Peter was exhorting the elders to be diligent in what God had given to them. But he also has some things for all of us to remember as well. 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll start in verse 5. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God cannot guide those who are not humble. Those who are guided by God, it talks about being clothed with humility. Clothed with humility. Being clothed with humility is something that you have on all the time. You don't leave home without it. For us to be faithful, to follow God, to listen, to be teachable, it takes being humble, being a humble servant of his, being willing to dedicate our life to serve God, to be willing to follow his truth, to ask him to help us to grow in understanding, and more importantly, to apply it in our lives. Brethren, when we do these things, we will have a positive outlook in our lives, and that positive outlook will continue to grow. Point number 4 is practice gratitude and give God thanks. Practice gratitude and give God thanks. You know, gratitude has been shown to be a positive emotion in all of us. Gratitude doesn't cost us money. Gratitude is not something that we can learn at school. It doesn't take a degree in anything to learn gratitude. Gratitude comes from the understanding that others have provided something that has improved our lives. For us to be having gratitude in our life, especially as Christians, we recognize that God is our creator, that God has a purpose for us, that God has given us many things in our life. We should have a gratitude towards all the things that God has given to us and appreciate that. Thanks and being thankful, on the other hand, is often about a certain or particular event that we've experienced. We say thank you for different things that we've been given, but gratitude often refers to appreciation of life, an appreciation of life. And God has given us a wonderful life at this time. Gratitude can change our perspective. Gratitude and giving thanks together work together to create a more positive life. You turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, read verses 3 and 5. Here Paul was writing a church to the letter in Philippi, a church that he loved very much, that he had even started. Philippians chapter 1, starting verse 3, it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy for the fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul thanked God for the congregation in Philippi. As I said earlier, he was the one that started the church there. These were ones that supported his ministry. They supported the church in Jerusalem. When Paul thought about them, he thought about them fondly. It was a positive thing for him as he was under arrest and in prison. Brethren, it's good for us to be grateful for the things that we've been given in our lives too. Often, to be grateful or show gratitude, you have to stop and you have to think about it. You have to think about what you're grateful for. For those in God's church, we can stop and think about what God has done for us. We can also stop and think about the other people in our lives that have contributed to where we are and who we are as well. In this country, there's a lot of people that are ungrateful for a variety of reasons. Those that you see who lack gratitude and thankfulness are usually pessimistic, negative people as well. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians, Paul reminds us of three simple things that we need to be doing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Of these three simple things, two of them are having gratitude and giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll start in verse 16. A two-word verse, rejoice always, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For those that rejoice, a lot of times we rejoice for what we've been given. We have gratitude, as I said earlier, for the things that God has done for us. Talks about praying without ceasing. It also talks about giving God our thanks. When we do those three things together, not only will our relationship with God grow, but so will our attitude. Our attitudes will be more positive. We'll have a different perspective on what we go through in this life. We should understand that everything God wants us to do is for best for us. Sometimes it's hard to obey God's commandments, and when we do, we receive a blessing from it in this life, and especially in the life to come. You turn back to Psalms, chapter 145. I'll read another psalm by David. David was always giving God, even though he went through a lot of difficult times in his life, some caused by his own sins, he was always grateful for God's deliverance, and he always gave God thanks. We see this in Psalms chapter 145. I'll read verses 1 through 8. Starting verse 1 of Psalms 145, a praise of David. I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty works. I will meditate on your glorious splendor of your majesty and your wondrous works. Men shall speak of your might and your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and they shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. Brethren, when we read these verses or other verses in the Bible, it should remind us to take the time to be grateful for what God has given to us. As I said earlier, other people have helped us as well in our lives. It's important to keep our minds focused on God throughout the day, to truly be grateful for what God does for us, and also to be thanking Him for the things that He's done for us. When we do these things, we'll find our negative thoughts, the negative things in our minds, will be replaced by positive thinking. When we show gratitude, give God thanks, it helps build not only our relationship with Him, but when we do that with others, it helps build our relationship with others. We're grateful for our families, for our spiritual family. Those can help us maintain positive relationships. So I conclude this point, if you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4, read verses 8 and 9. As we conclude looking at showing gratitude and giving thanks, Ephesians chapter 4, I'll start in verse 8, says, "Finally, brethren," this is from the New American Standard Bible, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellent in anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received, and you've heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Brethren, we all want more peace in our lives. We all want to be positive, hopefully want to be positive in our lives as well. Part of doing that is being grateful. It talks about thinking about all these things that God can do for us, to think about what's honorable, what is right, what is pure, what is of good repute, to praise, to dwell on those things. We have the opportunity to do that when we stay focused on those things, when we take the time to think about those things, when we tune out the negative that may be around us. Tune out the negative that's around us and think about positive things in our life. And when we do, we'll be more positive, and we'll also have a peace of mind that only God can give us. The fifth and final point that I want to bring out today is practice kindness throughout the day. Practice kindness throughout the day. I have part of an article that I want to read to you today. It's from Psychology Today. It's an article entitled, "Kindness is Contagious and You Just May Want to Catch It." Kindness is contagious, you just may want to catch it. This is from Beth Curlin, who's a PhD. It says, "I was sitting by the indoor lap pool waiting for a lane to open. Not more than 3 minutes passed when a woman in one of the lanes invited me to share her lane. What struck me was that not only was her unsolicited kindness, but her open-hearted appreciation I felt hours afterwards, that it made me want to return the kindness and pass it on to someone else through my actions in some way. Her kindness felt contagious, and I wanted to spread it." Have you ever noticed this in your life? When somebody does something kind to you, that when they do that, it makes you feel warm inside, and you think, you know what, I should be a little bit more kinder and maybe share some kindness with someone else. This article went on to show that research shows that when we give kindness, we receive physical benefits of reduced blood pressure and stress. Those who practice kindness also experience greater happiness. It's not surprising kindness helps us to strengthen our relationships. strengthen our relationships with our families and with others, but we can show kindness in many things that we do in our lives. It's noted that it can be a ripple effect to inspire others to do the same. I said earlier about gratitude, it's not something that takes a whole lot of work to do. Kindness is a fruit of God's Spirit and expressed by showing godly love in how we treat people. If you turn to Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, you think about Jesus Christ's life. Jesus Christ showed kindness and compassion towards many people. Here we have the disciples turning away little children in Mark chapter 10. I'll start in verse 13. It says, "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.' And he took them up in his arms and laid hands on them and blessed them." Now, Jesus just wasn't focused on little children. Though he used this for a teaching moment with the disciples. Jesus' life, when you read through the Gospels, he showed small acts of kindness and large acts of kindness. He showed great kindness to the woman caught in adultery. He showed kindness and compassion for those who were sick, healing them. He also fed the multitudes. We may not be able to do all the things that Jesus did, but we can pray for others. We can be kind to others, not just people we know, but even those in the world, even those we work with. Maybe a stranger. We may be able to show more kindness when we drive. Maybe smile and thank people that do things for us. Surprising what a smile does when you give that to someone. When you smile at them, tell them thank you. You know, most kindness doesn't take a Herculean effort, but it does take godly love. It takes thinking about others, thinking about the blessings that you've been given as well, but thinking about others and showing kindness to them. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Paul's telling us how we should treat others, and not only how we should treat others, but why. Colossians chapter 3, starting verse 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. Above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection," sometimes translated the bond of unity. You know, kindness is more than just being nice. Kindness is being motivated by godly love. Showing godly love to someone you may not even know. But brethren, we should definitely be showing kindness and love for those that we do know. To be kind to them. As I said earlier, oftentimes kindness is not some Herculean effort that we have to do. Almost all of us can do it. We're all capable of it. Showing kindness will help us stay more positive in our lives and will help those around us as well. So give it a try this week. Try to show some kindness each day in how you live. You know, I started this sermon by talking about batteries. How each battery has a positive and a negative side. We see this in the world as well, the positive and negative. We know that comes from the knowledge of good and evil that Adam and Eve ate of. We also understand that we have positive and negative traits. I would look to just four areas that should help us be more positive. There's many more. God's chosen us at this time to give us something that's very positive in his life, in our lives, his truth. How can we not be positive about that? God gives us the help that we need, gives us the instruction that we need, and tells us and gives us the hope that we can be a part of His great family. It will take endurance. It will take perseverance as we go through this life. But brethren, the reward is great. The reward is great not only now, but in the future. When life gets hard, life gets difficult, remember, control the things you can control and give God the things you can't control. You'll find that you'll be much more positive in your life. We should grow in humility and be teachable, to walk humbly with God, to walk humbly with Him, to be stirred up and zealous to learn more about how to apply His way of life in our lives. We should be growing and expressing gratitude, to be grateful for what God's given to us, that He's created us, given us His precious truth and understanding. But we should also express gratitude and thanks to those who have helped us in our lives, that help us each day. You know, gratitude helps us remember those that help us, and especially God. Last, we looked briefly at kindness. We can follow Jesus Christ's examples. I said we may not be able to heal others, but we can pray for others. We can show kindness in our words, in our actions, even to those that may be strangers to us. As I was working on my conclusion of this sermon, I realized my whole sermon could be summed up in this one sentence. So if you didn't get anything from this sermon today, if you understand this one sentence, you'll have learned something. To be and stay more positive in our lives, we need to be plugged into God and His Spirit. Because God's Spirit doesn't have anything negative in it. It's only positive. I'll read one last verse from Psalms chapter 118:24. It reminds us of God's steadfast love. It says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Brethren, each day, let's stay focused on the positive side and be plugged into God.